I'm turning once again to the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. The burden of our thoughts being the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen and amen. I want the Lord helping me this morning to conclude the message I began 2 weeks ago on the supernatural phenomena that attended the coming of the Holy Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. We have a verse of Scripture that is known to the majority of Christians, but little understood and even less appreciated. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, "Study or give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Failure to rightly divide the word of truth has resulted in confusion and chaos in the ranks of Christians. And today, Christendom is being rent asunder by those who know not how to rightly divide the word of truth. Today we have many people claiming to heal the sick, but they attempt not to raise the dead. We have others who refuse the use of medicine but refuse to demonstrate their spirituality by drinking deadly poison. We have others who claim to cast out devils, but themselves seem to be possessed of devils. So to get your thinking started, I'm turning to Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at what some call the disputed close of the Gospel of Mark. For with the coming of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, in 1880, there came a suggestion that these last eight verses of Mark's Gospel did not belong. But there's nothing mentioned in this conclusion as we have it in the King James translation, but what we find in other portions of the Bible which are accepted. It seemed that the higher critics of the Word of God, and higher critics is a name that was adopted by a group of German expositors of the Word who imagined themselves smarter than God and had the capacity to sit in judgment on the Word of God. They discovered two old manuscripts that did not have this ending. They ignored the fact that there were two other manuscripts as old or older that had this, and there were thousands of old manuscripts that have it, and all of the church fathers, without exception, have quoted from this and accepted it as the Word of God. Personally, I've had no difficulty accepting it as the Word of God. But I want to read from verse 15 to the end. And this will provide a point of beginning. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, it's interesting to note there in that connection that as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, Paul says that prior to his salvation or conversion, that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. This prophecy fulfilled before Paul was saved. Now verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues or languages. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, pause there just a moment to consider those things. First of all, those who appeal to this particular passage of Scripture as authority for their attempt to talk in tongues, and their attempt to cast out devils, and their attempt to heal the sick by the laying on of hands, overlook the first part of verse 17, which says, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow everyone that believes. These signs shall follow them. You don't gain these signs by attaining to a super heart of piety through self-endeavor, you don't attain or receive these signs by total commitment or complete dedication. These signs will follow everyone that believes. Now get that fixed in your mind. Everyone that believes. As repeatedly stated from this pulpit, I came to two conclusions one day in the study of this passage. Number one, I believe. Now that's one thing I know of a certainty. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved forevermore. Thus saith the Word of God. I believe. The second conclusion, none of these signs followed me. Now, do you believe? Have these signs followed you? Do they follow you? I hardly know how to illustrate that. Well, this might do. Walking down the street one day, a stray dog came up sniffing around. I don't know whether he knew I was a minister or not and might have a handout. But he came up and I spoke kindly to him and he followed me. And followed me. I said, get away. And he'd say, you're kidding. And he just kept following me and kept following me. Well, maybe you've had that experience. Now, these signs are going to follow everybody that believes. Everybody. Failure to notice just a word or two in a passage of Scripture creates great confusion. For instance, just hold your place there and turn to the second chapter of Acts of the Apostles. The second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 15. In trying to account for the supernatural phenomena occurring on the day of Pentecost, the bystanders hazard a guess that these people were drunk. Peter says here in verse 15, these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, that is, it is but 9 o'clock in the morning, and no Jew drank before he had accomplished certain ablutions and sacrifices, and were not accomplished until after 9 o'clock. No. They don't even drink anything before 9 o'clock. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Now I'm reading this because many appeal to this particular passage of Scripture, trying to justify the woman's lib movement as it has moved into the pulpits where they seek ordination as ministers and priests and prophets and what have you. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. See there, preacher, it says, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. They read that, but they don't read that 17th verse very carefully. They miss one word. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. He's speaking of a day when his spirit will be poured out upon every human being upon the earth. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. and the day in which we're living, His Holy Spirit is poured out only upon those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's not poured out upon the innumerable host of unbelievers. But there's coming a day when His Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. That day will not be until the millennium is established and every person on the face of the earth will be a saved person. Now just watch the word, all flesh. That is not applicable to us. Well, back to Mark 16. When I was reading and studying this verse, I had a group of young ministerial students in the church. It was while I was pastoring Amarillo. And there were five or six of these young men, and they were in earnest, and I think I was in earnest, seeking the will of the Lord. And these young fellows got the idea that it's... if the Lord had any more for them than they already had, they wanted that, not knowing what they wanted, or not realizing what they'd get if they got what they wanted, but they wanted, and they'd meet and they'd pray, sometimes all the night long, for these gifts to be poured out upon them, so forth. Well, you learn a few things as you go along. You don't seek gifts. Gifts are given at the discretion of the giver. Visiting a sister of mine on occasion, had a little boy. I gave him a dollar bill one time. The next year when I visited there, he came in and I didn't do anything. And he rolled over the floor a few times and then began to holler, "When are you going to do it?" And I said, "Do what?" He said, "You know what." And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Give me a dollar." And so I gave him a dollar. And the next time I was there, I didn't wait for him. I just gave him a dollar. And he'd grown up a little. And he said, "Huh? Can't you make it two?" I said, "Another word out of you and I'll take that one back." Gifts. You don't beg for gifts. You don't ask for gifts. You don't seek gifts. And the quickest way to stop somebody from giving you something is to ask them to repeat the giving of a gift. Gifts are bestowed. When and where and how? The giver decides. And so as I studied this, these signs shall follow them that believe. Number one, I believe. Number two, the sign didn't follow me. You know, I'm a little off. You know, I'm a little peculiar. But for some time now, it may be after I went on Medicare, but for some time now, I've had the feeling all I want is what the Lord wants for me. I think in my younger days, I was more ambitious. I think I wanted some things. The flesh desired some things, that, but now just what the Lord wants. I don't want anything somebody else in this book has that the Lord doesn't want me to have. I've always urged the people to be careful for what they pray, with the admonition, you might get it. Now, you just be careful for what you pray, you might get it. And it might be worse for you than if you didn't have it. So, as I read this verse of Scripture, 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. I knew I was reading somebody else's mail. This was not written to me. This was not written to me. It was written for me, but not written to me. It's not written to me. These signs haven't followed me. Well, I began to study those things. Now, here are these signs. In my name they shall cast out devils. That was done throughout the Acts of the Apostles. They shall speak with new languages. That was done throughout the Acts of the Apostles. They shall take up serpents. You recall in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul shipwrecked on the island one cold morning, building a fire, reached into the wood to get a log or something. A serpent struck him and the fangs hung in his arm. And all of the natives round about sprang back and said, this man's a criminal, and justice has caught up with him. And they gave him a wide berth, but he took the snake and flung it off and went on about. No swelling, no pain, nothing. Keep that in mind as you read of these snake handlers today. Snake handling is not as dangerous as lots of people think. More people die from wasps and bee stings every year than from snake bites. That's documented. Very few people that are bitten by a rattlesnake or copperhead or cottonmouth moccasin die. All right, Paul slung that thing off. Now, those get bit today, their arms swell up, and sometimes they have to have it amputated. And I've seen proud flesh continue for months and months and months after one had been bitten, but they didn't die. And Paul, getting rid of the snake with no pain, no swelling, no harm at all, the people said, oh, this must be a god, and then they wanted to worship him. Now we have here, if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Two purported ministers of the gospel not too long ago in a church up the country a piece of the way drank deadly poison and both of them died. They were demonstrating the power of their faith, but they died. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That was accomplished many times throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Now, let's read on. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, these, to whom is he speaking? Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11. Judas is gone, so he's speaking to the 11. Now, in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto the 11, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Now, watch. And they went forth, the 11, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now there you get one of the first purposes of these signs, the confirmation of the word. All right. Now, I want you to take this thought home with you this morning. The purpose of these signs, the speaking in new languages, the casting out of devils, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, the drinking of deadly poison, and handling of snakes with impurity, these things were confirmations of the word. Now keep that. Confirmations of the word. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now we stop right there for a moment. God has spoken in sundry times and in divers manners, but he spoke by the prophets. Now I want to show you this morning that God has spoken through three groups or individuals. That's all. God has spoken throughout the whole of the Old Testament. God spoke through the prophets. And the word spoken through the prophets was confirmed by God with signs. No clearer example can be given than that of Moses before Pharaoh. When the Lord was urging upon Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand that he let my people go. Moses said, suppose they ask me, who sent you? What shall I say? Well, you just tell them that I am sent you. You just tell them that. The power of the words, I am, were demonstrated by the Lord at the time of his arrest. When 500 soldiers and many more onlookers and demonstrators came to arrest the Lord, he said to them, whom seek ye? And some replied, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus just uttered one word translated by two words in the English. Jesus simply said, I am. And the 500 soldiers fell backward on their backs, and the mad mob of demonstrators also fell on their backs, just with the expression of that one word, I am. Now you tell Pharaoh that I am. He said, well, suppose he doesn't believe me. Well, I'll give you some signs. What's that in your hand? It's a staff. Throw it down. I'm surprised that that's not done from pulpits today by these pseudo-perpetrators of these Pentecostal gifts. He threw down his staff and it became a serpent. Pick it up! He caught it by the tail and it became a staff. Put your hand in your bosom. Throw it down. I'm surprised that that's not done from pulpits today by these pseudo-perpetrators of these Pentecostal gifts. He threw down his staff and it became a serpent. Pick it up! He caught it by the tail and it became a staff. Put your hand in your bosom. Take it out. Leprous. Flesh falling off. Nails gone. Put it back in your bosom. Healed, cleansed to perfect. Then he gave him that, turning the water to blood. But something happened. We read in Paul's epistle to Timothy that Pharaoh had a couple of magicians of his own by the name of Jannes and Jambres. And Paul told Timothy to be careful in the days of his ministry, because you're going to find people imitating the work of God and bringing to naught the testimony of the Lord by imitating the work of God, just as Jannes and Jambres imitated the work of God through Moses and tried to bring to naught that work. Jannes and Jambres throw their staff down, they become serpents. But the serpent from Moses' staff swallowed those serpents. They changed the water to blood. They could perform these signs. Now the Bible doesn't say they're not going to be signs. But the Bible says they're not going to be worked and wrought by the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you, I get the itch when I get around one of these healers or tonguers. I just want to scratch. I want to bathe and get a disinfectant. I'll tell you, beloved, it's something. Now, God spoke through the prophets, and they had signs, and then their prophecies, many of them, immediately fulfilled. Now, when God ceased to speak through the prophets, let's see how he spoke. Now, look in verse 1 there, Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers. I hope you know that the word fathers is applicable to Israel and to Israel alone. No Gentile has any right before God to be called father by anybody else in a spiritual way. The fathers is of Israel. So here, bringing out once again over in the New Testament that every revelation of God to man was to the Jews. Through the Jews. All right. Now, the fathers by the prophet. Now, hath in these last days spoken unto us, King James says, by his Son. The literal translation would be simply as Son. God spoke as Son in Jesus Christ. Now, the second way God spoke to man was through Jesus the Christ as Son. And God confirmed the word spoken through his Son by miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles are gifts of the Holy Spirit. God spoke, and God confirmed that word. Nicodemus gave utterance to the truth. Rabbi, we know that thou art come from God, because no man could do the works that thou doest except God be with him. So when our Lord spoke, signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit accompanied his preaching and teaching as a confirmation that what he said was from God. Now, Hebrews chapter 2. There's a third group through whom God spoke. This is important, because so many of these healers and tonguers have revelations from God. Talking to a man last week, and he said, Ed, what are we going to do? A man came to me and told me, he said, I had a dream some time back. I dreamed that my wife became antagonistic toward me and hated me, and that she left me and went off with another man. And he said, you know, it came true. Well, he didn't say whether he helped it to come true or what happened, but what about that? And then a woman came to me and said she dreamed that her son was bitten by a rattlesnake and died, and said a few weeks later it was bitten by a rattlesnake and died. I said, well, you can tell them one thing, both of them, and anybody else like that, that whatever happened was not of God. He doesn't speak in dreams, and he doesn't give revelations or visions. He has spoken as Son. Now, here it is. But there's a third group. Now, in this second chapter of Hebrews, let's pick up this third group through whom God has spoken. And what you're going to see is that through these three, when God spoke through the prophets, there were signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. When he spoke as Son, there were signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when he speaks through this third group, we're going to find the same thing. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let slip. That is, we're the ones that slip, not these things. We slip by as a ship drifts by its mooring as it approaches the dock. For if the word spoken by angels... Now, the King James translators, as well as other translators, confuse its readers sometimes by translating the same word several different ways. I'll show you a place in a minute where the same word is translated four different ways. Now, here we have a word that's translated two different ways. The word here translated steadfast is the same word that we have in the latter part of the third verse, translated confirmed. Now, it confirmed is the word, and that's what we want. Now, verse 2, if the word spoken by angels was confirmed, was established to have been from God, or to have come from God, or to be the word of God, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, here's the third group. Here's the third group that comes to us with the word of God. Those who heard Jesus. By them that heard him. Those that heard Jesus. Now, those are the only three groups. Those only ones through whom God has spoken. God has spoken through the prophets in the Old Testament. God has spoken through his Son. And God has spoken to us through those who heard Jesus. Now, if you're questioning the authority of Paul to be one of that group, just remember that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, accompanied with him manifestly for approximately 3 years in the desert in Arabia, and taught him by word of mouth the gospel that he preached. So Paul heard the Lord. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, says Paul. Paul says the gospel that I preached didn't come from man or men or group of men or church or this and that, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself came and taught me that which I preach unto you. So those who heard our Lord. Now, we want to read on. We want to get this. All right, I'm going to pick up with 3 once again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now, the salvation to which he refers there is the salvation of the soul as opposed to the salvation of the spirit, because the salvation of the spirit was revealed as early as Genesis 3:15. And the salvation of the spirit all through the Old Testament, but the salvation of the soul, or the salvation of the life, resulting in ruling and reigning with the Lord, was first spoken by the Lord himself after he came here. Was first spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How was it confirmed? God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, God confirmed the word of the apostles. God confirmed the words of the apostles by signs, wonders, and miracles. We could go through the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles can be divided into 2 divisions. The first one exemplified by the name of the man Peter. The second by the name of the man Paul. The first part of the Acts of the Apostles deals with the activities of Peter under the power of the Spirit of God, and the latter part, that of Paul under the power of the Spirit of God. Now, when we come into the Acts of the Apostles and go to studying the ministry of Peter, we find that he said to the lame man at the gate, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And he reached out, lifted him up, and this man who'd been lame from his mother's womb leaped up with joy, went leaping across the courtyard, shouting and hollering praises to God. And we find also that Peter was the one who met Ananias and Sapphira as they came into church, lying to the Holy Spirit of God, and brought death upon them. We find that the Apostle Paul, coming in contact with Elymas, struck him blind. We find once again that as Peter walked down the streets, his shadow falling on anybody that was sick or afflicted, they were healed immediately. I'm surprised that we don't have a sect called the Shadow Casters, running up and down, casting their shadows on the sick people to heal them. They did it here. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. What you going to do about it? Well, there it is. Well, Paul didn't do that, but Paul did take handkerchiefs and napkins and things to touch his body, and they'd take those and go everywhere, and anybody that touched that would be healed. I'll never forget when I got sick. I got an envelope from California, had something to open it, had a napkin.
All you had to do is touch it and you'd be healed. Oh, my, I tell you, you get rid of those things. I tell you, Satan gets close enough and stays close enough without you reaching out and taking hold of him, playing with him, and cavorting around with him. You just let it be. But napkins touching the body of Paul healed everybody where they went. The Bible says, and healed them all. And everybody on whom the shadow of Peter fell was healed, all of them. Now, when I was interested in this thing and gave it a study, I attended services in Amy Semple McPherson Hutton at Al Tabernacle, or temple, in Los Angeles. The Angelus Temple. Over 5,000 of them. I saw. I can't go into detail of the things that took place sometime when we have more time, or maybe we just give an entire service to the things I saw and felt that day. But on another day, in Lubbock, Texas, one of her first lieutenants was down there for a big healing meeting, and I went down there and stayed in the hotel for a day and night or so and attended those meetings to watch it. And you know of some that they had here. The City Auditorium, Warner Park, you know some of those big healing services. You remember the stretcher cases that lined the walls. The aisles full of people in wheelchairs. The only ones they healed were the ones who walked across the platform and had something you couldn't prove they had it when they came across, and you couldn't prove they didn't have it when they got across. It was something like that. Amputated limbs, bald heads, dentures, fallen arches, they couldn't touch. They couldn't do a thing for. It had to be something that was invisible, indistinguishable, and could not be pinpointed. And I saw them at the City Auditorium. I didn't see it, but I was told about it. Every stretcher case that lined the walls of that City Auditorium, they took them back out and took them home without any hope. They didn't even attempt to heal them. Didn't attempt to heal them. At Warner Park, one of the greatest healers of all time, who has the greatest Hollywood television pseudo-religious program of all colors and everything else all mixed up, healed there, and the walls there were lined with these stretchers and wheelchairs and people being held in arms. He noticed the watch. I've got to close. I've got a meeting in Houston. I've got to get out of here now. I don't have time for all of these around here. And he started to leave, and someone whispered something in his ear, and he said, the offering's a little short. Pass the plates again. And they had time to pass the plates again, but they didn't have time to heal anybody else. I'm telling you what happened. But everyone on whom Peter's shadow fell was healed. Everyone who touched Paul's napkin or handkerchief, something was healed. Everyone who came to the Lord to be healed was healed. Now, the Lord confirmed the word of these by signs and wonders and miracles. Now, let me show you something. By them that heard him, we have some concluding hours or moments in this thing we call signs, wonders, and miracles. Number one, signs, wonders, and miracles were for the Jews. They were for the Jews. The Jew demands a sign. The just, the saved, the redeemed, those who believe on the Lord shall live by faith. Now, the gospel of the kingdom was preached to the nation of Israel. Now, I want to give you 2 points. Number one, when the offer of the gospel of the kingdom was withdrawn from Israel, signs, wonders, and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased. Signs, wonders, and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit were the credentials to confirm the preaching of those preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It has never been associated with the gospel of grace. Now, God turned from Israel about 60 A.D. About 60 A.D. If you want the exact place in your Bible, you'll find it Acts chapter 28 and verse 28. Acts 28, 28, when God turned from the Jews to the Gentiles, signs and wonders ceased. Now, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned one place, and if you'll indulge me just a moment or two here in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I don't think you'll regret giving me a minute or two. Well, I understand you've had several minutes given back to you. And you owe me some time. Now here in Acts, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Now here is a place, this passage which I'm about to read, is where one word is translated four different ways. I'm going to translate it the same way all the time, that you can see the force of what God's saying. You know, lots of people don't think God knows what he's saying, and so they try to help him a little bit. And they say, well, he said this, but he didn't mean that. But we do like he said. Charity or love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. They shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall be done away. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, and we had that not long ago, that which is perfect is the Word of God. And when the canon of the Scripture is completed, when the Bible is completed, you need no signs, wonders, or miracles. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will take up this and bear it home to your heart. I don't have to wave a rattlesnake with this hand and have a cup of cyanide in this, drinking it, to prove that I'm from God. I read you this word, and the Holy Spirit himself will make you know that this is from God. Now, all right, let's go back up here. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's the same word all four times there. Now, let's see what's going to be done away. Prophecy is going to be done away because God is going to complete. Everything God wants you to know is in here, so there's no need of prophecy to tell you what's going to happen. You don't need anything to tell you. God has everything in here he wants you to know. Yes, but if he has something more than in here, I want it. Well, you better get what he's got in here first. All right. Now, whether there be languages, things are not going to move as fast as you think. People are going to have time to study the languages and master the languages, and they can go and preach. So you're not going to have new tongues to go and proclaim the gospel. Because tongues in the Scripture, every time without exception, means a new language that's known, understood, and used by somebody somewhere in the world. All right. Now, where there be knowledge. Knowledge. Peter spoke here, Paul spoke there, James spoke here, and John spoke there. Well, I don't remember exactly what he said. Well, here's a man who has the gift of knowledge, and he remembers everything that was said, and he gives it to you. But when it's all written in the book, you don't need any such a man. You can read it here. So languages are not needed, prophecies are not needed, and the knowledge of this is not needed because it's all right here in this blessed book. Now, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. Paul is comparing the days when God had to confirm his word with these signs, wonders, and miracles. Paul's comparing that to the kindergarten. And when I was a baby playing with blocks in the nursery, I was interested in signs and wonders and miracles. But now that I've grown up and become a man, I've left those things in the nursery. Well, some do, and some still take a rubber duck to the bathtub with them. They haven't gotten away from that. But Paul said, I have. I've left the rubber duck and all these other things in the nursery, and I'm through with them. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. There's that word again. I did away with childish things. I did away with childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. Now abideth. Paul's writing here about 59 or 60 A.D. Now at this time of which I'm writing, there just remains three of these great gifts, signs, wonders, and miracles. There just remains three: faith, hope, and love. Faith's going to change the sight one day when we see the Lord face to face. I see him by faith now, but one day I'm going to see him, as people say, eyeball to eyeball. I'll see him. Hope is going to change to glad fruition, and things will be realized. But love will continue forever and ever. Now abide is faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Beloved, when God spoke through the prophets, there were signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm his word. When he spoke through his Son, there were signs, wonders, and miracles he spoke to confirm his word. When he spoke through those who heard him, and John was the last one to write of those who heard him. When he spoke through those who heard him, it was accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. And when he finished that, then we have this. And we need no signs, wonders, and miracles, because the Holy Spirit of God will take of this and make it known to you. Now, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause his face to shine upon thee. Is my prayer in the name of our Father and his Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.